I'm Stephanie Coxon.
And I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And we are two women influencing real life. So let's twirl. In a time where people are losing hope, where we're not sure of, or we're being divided, really. We're being divided, rich, poor. People think that they can't get ahead anymore. And after a couple of weeks of just having some pretty serious topics, I thought that, or we thought that topics of hope would be now due. And, you know, we all in America still have the opportunity to grow. We have the opportunity to be who we are. We have the opportunity to live purpose, which is not the case in every country. And so with that, I am Stephanie Coxon.
And I'm Kathy Anderson Martin. And we are two women.
Women inspiring real life. So let's twirl. So I'm like, sorry, Kathy.
That's okay. We were both excited to tell who we are today, Stephanie.
I know. Well, it's a good day.
Yes, that's right.
It's a good day. But I'm super excited about today's guest because he is a guy who's really walked a path to success. And not just financial success that people like to call success, but success in family, success in business, success in living his purpose in ministry, all sorts of different things. I mean, it's really, I feel like the American dream that we forget still exists in the US of A.
And something I think we need to talk more about to encourage this generation and future generations, you know, that you can achieve. And if through hard work, regardless of background or situation in life, and that's the beauty of America. And again, I think we've lost that.
We have. We don't live in a caste system, which, you know, is not the case in some places.
And this is part of our ongoing quest to save America. And, you know, this is what we have to do. We love to tell these stories and to share these stories of people who've overcome and how they succeeded and hope that others are encouraged by that. So that's what we have today. And I'm excited to talk about that.
Yeah. So I want to introduce everyone to Greg Montoya. And this guy is just, it's phenomenal. Like I just, Greg, welcome, first of all, but I really want to hear first and foremost about your childhood. Would you tell us a little bit about your childhood?
Well, let me start by saying I had great parents that did their very best to be able to raise a family of five. Unfortunately, circumstances hit financially and went through a serious divorce when I was 7 years old, kind of broke the family. And for those that have been in a situation like that, know that it's very, very challenging, especially as a child. You know, I was 7 years old when that happened. And so it was devastating to me emotionally. At that time, I didn't have God in my life. So my faith and hope was in my parents, and they were struggling. But the divorce and going separate ways, which carried over into the family, really broke the family up. And so I experienced some very serious trauma emotionally going through that process. And also went through a lot of challenging times financially. It was very, very tough. My dad was doing the best he could to provide for the family. Mom was going her direction, and it was just a big whirlwind. And I remember times where there was no food on the table. And that was a very, very scary time, not knowing where your next meal is going to come from. And quite frankly, being so hungry, at one point, I remember when I finally ate, because I'd gone several days without any food, food was foreign to my stomach. I actually threw it up. And so I had to eat slowly when I finally started having food available. And so I learned at a very young age the importance of finances. And I knew if we had money, we'd have food. If we didn't have money, wouldn't have food. They kind of go hand in hand, you know. And also, I discovered later on in life, you know, a scripture that said, if you don't work, you don't eat. And so I realized I needed to work if I was going to eat. Even at a young age, I started little side businesses. I had a newspaper route. I had a bicycle business. I used to sell candy, big bags of candy I'd buy in sell them individually at school, make a great profit. I think I was the guy that single-handedly caused them to put on the food on the labels of candy that not for resale.
That's awesome.
You know, so I did what I had to do to survive. I moved out of the house at 16, was pretty much on the street, trying to figure out my way. You know, what do I do? You know, young kid here, 16 years old, all I had to my name was my car. And I just realized from a very young age that if I was going to get ahead, it was because of me and not somebody else. And I also realized that it wasn't going to happen in a job, even though I went the job route, you know, later on. I realized that that was just going to get me a paycheck and I wanted more out of life. So I started my own businesses. Again, I had the newspaper route, the candy business. I even had a pickle business. I used to buy 5 gallon drums of pickles and take those to school. And so, you know, I did what I had to do. And,
you were covering all bases, Greg. Said the candy, know, that you got your candy, newspaper, and dill pickle all from one guy. That's pretty good.
And bicycles too.
And bicycles. You were diversified.
So, yeah. So it's healthy food, bad food, and physical activity. I think that about sums it up.
Yeah. So he had it all bases covered. So that's good. That's a lesson in diversification. So great.
It was, you know, it was. I look at it as a blessing that going through that time, because it taught me where I didn't want to be in life. And I discovered that the people that were living the type of life that I wanted to live had their own business. And so that's when at an early age, I started testing the waters. And by God's grace, later on in life, I ramped that up into serious business. And as a result of that, you know, was able to achieve what I wanted to do financially. But through that process, there was a lot of hard times. And that's, I think, where the greatest blessing was, is during those hard times, because that's when I found Jesus.
That's awesome.
That's a great story. And I appreciate you sharing that. And there's more. I mean, the best part of that story is that's when I found Christ, of course. But, you know, that story of overcoming and having that drive to succeed, I think that's lost on so many people. And especially on this generation, you know, that thinks everything's free or going to be handed to you. But you went the other route to want to do better. And we've had a number of people on the show that have said that same thing. Like, I realize if I'm going to have things, I have to work for it. And, you know, it's wonderful to hear that. But what happened? What was the transformative? What business did you get into? And how did things change from there?
Well, I'm going to back up a little bit. When you talk about free, I always tell people there's a reason why the cheese in a mousetrap is free. There is no such thing as free. You know, somebody's paying for something somewhere. And so I just decided, you know what, I'm not going to fall victim to this free mentality, entitlement mentality. I'm going to go out and based on hard work, not necessarily working harder, but working smarter, build a business that creates residual type income to where I'm making money, whether I'm working or not. You know, that's called true freedom. I mean, you can get stuck in certain businesses where the business owns you. So for me, I wanted a business that I owned that would give me the lifestyle. And again, tried many, many different businesses. I had traditional businesses. I got into network marketing, did exceedingly well in network marketing, even though some people say network marketing is a bad thing. I say, well, there's bad in everything, okay? But there's also good. And I found a company that I did very, very well in, was able to minister to a lot of people through that process, because I believe that it's a great platform to be able to tell your story. And then through that story, you can help people in so many different ways. One, physically with the products, financially with the opportunity, and spiritually through your own story. And my story has been for many, many years, that it's by God's grace and by His mercy that I'm even here today. You know, my wife kind of teases me a little bit, you know, about cats having 9 lives. She said, I think you got about 20, everything I've been through. And we don't have enough time today to talk about all of that. We all have our own stories, but I can just tell you that it was a rough ride, but it was worth the journey. And as a result of that, I found several businesses that were able to, again, give me the lifestyle that I'd always dreamed about as a kid.
And I think, especially now, because people are pretty desperate, you know, people are really struggling to put food on the table. They're showing up at the grocery stores. the inflation is, you know, across the board, whether it's your electric, your food bill, gas bills, it is amazing what we are paying compared to just 10 years ago. And to be given opportunities and to know that they can work, and there's different avenues regardless of what your personality is, what your budget is, everything. Like, people need to know. And I think one of the fastest growing areas really is direct sales. But we have these misnomers that, you know, that it's all scams and everything else. But in reality, I know a ton of people who've done really, really well with them to supplement their income. And I think that more people need to kind of hear that across the board, there's opportunities where you don't have to know everything about business. And then there's also opportunities for people to go into business, which you've also done.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that public education has scarred and robbed a lot of people of opportunities, because it teaches there's only one way, and that's, you know, go to school, get out, get a job. It's got great benefits and everything's going to be fine. And people are finding out that's not the case. And so technically, I tell people, you have to undo a lot of that stinking thinking and start thinking outside the box, you know, because unfortunately, we've been taught to go the safe way. And that is by going to school, going to college, which reinforces what you learned in traditional school. And that reinforcement is oftentimes hard to break, because it puts people in a prison in their own mind of thinking that the only way to be successful is by working for somebody else. And I tell people, I say, you know what, that's the biggest risk you can take financially, is working for somebody else. And I learned that lesson after spending 12 years in corporate America. I started out as a machinist at a very large aerospace manufacturing company, and worked my way up into management, into a six-figure income in my early 20s, which was, you know, pretty phenomenal achievement. However, when new management took over, guess what? I found myself right back where I was 12 years prior, with my pay cut in half, back as a machinist. Not anything to do with my doing. It's just that's the way corporate America works. You know, new management comes in, they don't know what you've accomplished in the past, and they just start knocking heads off. And I was one of those. And I told myself at that point, I'm never going to allow this to happen again. If I fail moving forward, it's going to be because of me. It's something I did, not somebody else. It's dictating up above, you know, when I'm going to work, how long I'm going to work, where I'm going to work, and how much money I'm going to make. To me, that's not freedom. And that's what's been taught in public education. And that's why people look down on entrepreneurship. They think that, you know, if you're making money, you're a criminal because you're doing something outside of the norm. And my attitude is, again, if you want to be successful, do the opposite of what the majority does. And that is, if they're going this way, traditional education, hey, that's great if you're happy with it. But for me, I went the opposite direction. I thank God I did, even though I had a lot of adversity, a lot of people talking smack about me. Oh, now what's he up to today? Well, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Sometimes too much of this, and sometimes not enough of that. That's usually my answer.
How did you find the, I mean, I think what you say is exactly right. And especially, Stephanie, you mentioned, I work at a food bank, I manage a food bank, and you hear more and more of people being laid off, you know, of all different levels of income, struggling to make ends meet, as you mentioned, Stephanie, with different rising bills and so forth. So you were in that situation with a pay cut. How did you find the opportunity? Is it something you went out and looked for, or were introduced to? You know, was it a side gig? What exactly, how did you take that route to go from machinist to your own business?
Well, I started side businesses. I've always had side hustles, even though I was in corporate America. And I found this one particular side hustle that started to materialize, and it started to grow. And when my spare time effort financially reached my full time effort, I said, you know what, it's time to go and fire my boss. So that's what I did. I went in and told him, I said, hey, boss, hate to be the bearer of bad news for you, but it's costing me money to go to work here. So today's my last day. They thought I was literally crazy. He wanted to put me on medical leave, you know, thought that I was, you know, say, are you serious? And I said, yeah, today's the last day. And so they all laughed at me at the factory I was working at, like, this guy's crazy. He's quitting this great job. He's going out and doing this crazy entrepreneur stuff. Well, about 2 months later, they saw me on national TV on one of the most successful infomercials still to date. That infomercial ran for about 5 years. And so they were all calling me up saying, dude, what the heck's going on here? You know, I keep seeing you on TV. My mom called me up. She said, you know, I don't know who I see on TV more, you or Ed McMahon. You know, what's going on here? You know, and what really happened was I just broke out of that bondage I was in my head. And I just never looked back. And that's why I went in.
I have a question. Were you single or married when you said, I'm going to quit my job and go do this?
Well, that's the beauty of this is we were newly married. And so imagine this, newly married. And all of a sudden I'm telling her that I'm going to go in and fire my boss. But you know what she told me? She said, honey, I believe in you. And no matter what happens, if we lose it all and got to go live in a one bedroom studio somewhere, I support you. I believe in you. And I know that you'll make it work no matter what. I got confident. That right there gave me freedom to really go out and make something happen, because a lot of spouses are the complete opposite. Just like, you quit that job and I'm out of here, right? Because of the uncertainty. So thank God I had the wife that I did that was there, stood by my side every step of the way. I don't know what I've done without her.
And you since have children. Do you have grandchildren too now?
Three kids and three grandkids.
Three grandkids. Yes. Can you look at him? I know no one else can see him, but if everyone could see how old he looks, he does not look like he's
got three grandkids. No, it's because he's got this sense of peace and freedom from, you know, pursuing his bliss here. So there's another benefit of that.
Well, let me also tell you, Kathy, he also eats very healthy. And I just want to throw that out there because...
Stephanie? We are talking to Greg and hearing his story, and we'll get into that at another time. Which, Greg, just so you know, I do eat much healthier, but she drives me crazy.
Well, you know what? She's the one of my mentors, if you will. Even though we know a lot of the same stuff, I read her articles that she puts out. She's a wealth of knowledge, and I'm just honored to be associated with her, because like minds think alike, and great things happen when you put two minds that think alike together.
I know. She's my medical provider and we're friends. So I hear it all the time. So
everywhere we are.
Yes. Everywhere we are.
So tell us a little bit more. So let's get a little deeper into this. You've broken out, you have a supportive wife, which you're right. I think is absolutely huge to have support around you, because that's not the case for most people.
That is a difference maker. And I ask that because I tend to be very not a risk taker. And I say that, and I think a lot of people struggle with that if they are married and so forth and have one spouse that maybe is a little more of a risk taker than another. But I appreciate you saying that, because it really does show the benefit of having someone being supportive of what you hope to do.
Let me say something that's on that topic. And whoever's listening to this, if you have a spouse that's entrepreneurial minded, support them. It's a major blessing. You may not see it now, but entrepreneurship is what has built, is the very fabric of this country and of the world in general. And so we need more entrepreneurs. It's kind of a dying, you know, breed, if you will. And just like what happened with my wife, when she told me, honey, no matter what happens, I'm there for you. I'll support you. It gave me permission to be successful, because if she would have said, look, I didn't marry into all this crazy entrepreneur stuff. I married into a job that would have destroyed me. But she said, and here's the magic words. I use that word magic carefully, but here's the magic words. I believe in you, is what she said. Well, guess what? Several years prior to that, my mom told me the same thing. And that's what really opened the door early on at a young age. My mom said, son, I believe in you. And I believe by this time, by the time you're 30, you're going to have a very successful business. You're going to break records. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even believe it at that time. But she told me that. And everybody else, my family was like, oh, you know, look at, he's into all that scam stuff and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And all. And as a matter of fact, I even had some family members that went as far as to say, I can't wait to see him fall flat on his face.
Wow.
Literally. An aunt, and I'm not going to say which aunt it was, said that. And I was like, wow. But then my mom told me, I believe in you. You're going to do this, 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 and this. And then my wife told me, I believe in you. You're going to do this, this, and this. And you know, it's like, wow, I got two people that actually believe in me. And that's all I needed. And so I tell people, be very, very careful what you say to people. And again, the most powerful words you can tell somebody is, I believe in you. Because the world is upside down. It's a dog-eat-dog world where everybody wants to be successful. And there's only two ways to make it happen. Build your own empire or tear everybody else's down. And most choose the latter. For me, I try to encourage people, build your own. You can do it. I believe in you. And you may hear me, if you get to know me better, use those words a lot because I do believe in people. And I do believe that we're all born equal. And somebody either taught us how to live a life of poverty or somebody taught us how to live a life of mediocrity or, you know, or wealth, excuse me, become a wealthy. That's all been taught. And so for me, whatever time I have left on this crazy ball of mud that God gives me, I'm going to tell as many people as I can, I believe in you. And if they ask, well, how did you do it? I say, it's very simple. I went the opposite direction of what I was taught in public education.
There
and
is
I started,
a cons- I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, there I started surrounding cons- myself, people like Stephanie Cox and Kathy and, you know, successful entrepreneurs.
And there's that conspiracy theory that goes around that, you know, that public education or what I like to call government education is
Yes,
really-
I was waiting for you to say it. I couldn't believe you said public education because you usually say government schools.
I have a hard time with that. But yes, our government schools actually teach the mentality to purposely to keep you behind, you know, and I don't know where you fall on that. But the more and more I learn, that's really the direction I start to think. But the bigger thing here, I think, in what you're saying, Greg, is that your mental attitude is huge, right?
And, you know, there's one other thing with that, the impact we can have on our kids and spouses as well. And I think of your children, you remembered your mom saying that, but you also remembered the aunt who said something extremely negative and how important it is for us to remind ourselves when we're saying those things that our words can hold an impact in someone's mind for years to come. So,
well, think of it this way. Thoughts are things. Things have gravity and gravity attracts. So ask yourself, what are you thinking? Because whatever you think is who you become. Whether you think you can or think you can't, either way, you're right. I think that was Henry Ford that said that. And so it's all a mindset. And this government education you're talking, that's exactly what it is. It's not even education. It's full-blown communist indoctrination. Let's just say what it is. It's public education is the most dangerous place you could possibly put your kids in today's world. Now, it hasn't always been that way. But boy, over the last 15 and 20 years, that's what it's become. It's no longer about academics. It's about indoctrination. And the sooner parents realize that, the sooner they start doing something about it. I mean, if I had to do it all over again, knowing what I know now, even though my kids went to private school, if I didn't have any other option financially to put them in private school, I'd rather them be completely illiterate than to go into one of these communist indoctrination camps, because that's exactly what they are. They're teaching people exactly opposite of what the United States of America and our Constitution was put in place for. And these kids have no idea because they've been separated, you know, for their parents at school for 8 to 10 hours. Mom and dad are now both out of, you know, trying to make ends meet out of the house. Who's raising the kids? The government education and the TV and the internet. And that's why we're seeing the mess that we're in right now.
We've got to take a break, but I want to come back and let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about mentality and how do we start to change that around for people. On our shows, go-to podcasts typically a day or two after the broadcast is heard on talk radio. You can hear them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and iHeart Podcast, and many more. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts for us. You can find out more about our shows and get all the latest podcasts if you go to the menu nav bar at America Out Loud under our shows or schedule. You'll be in the know.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
So let's talk about the how important mentality is. How, you know, growing up in a household like you did that was struggling, there's got to be a lot of negative messages that come with that. How does someone break out of that to have the viewpoint? Because you have a viewpoint of abundance, right? You're not breaking other people down to get ahead. You're trying to lift everyone up. How do you shift that mentality for people? How did you do it?
I started looking at successful people and studying them. And I found out that you become a product of who you surround yourself with. That's who you become. The books you read, the audios you listen to, and the people you surround yourself with. And so I just decided, you know, the people that I loved them, the friends, but that type of lifestyle, is not what I wanted. And so I figured if I stayed in that environment, that's exactly what I'm going to get. As a matter of fact, I recently go back to Arizona where I grew up, and I visit some of my older friends, and they're right where they were when I left, when I was a teenager. It's doing the same stuff. It's because they did not remove themselves from that environment. So for me, I started surrounding myself with, you know, successful people. I had mentors. I started reading books on personal growth and development. I started going to seminars on home business, on direct marketing. Everything I could possibly get my hands on. I mean, you see behind me books. There's many more than you see here. I mean, I'm just a sponge for information. And I just decided that it's all a mindset. How did I decide that? Because I talked to successful people and I found that that's their story. They just said, it's all how you think. You know, again, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. Either way, you're right. Right. So I guess it's just changing the way I think. And as Zig Ziglar often says, if you want to change the output, you got to change the input. And that's what I did. I had to hit the reset button up here, get rid of all that stinking thinking that I'd learned in traditional education and hanging around certain people and just start thinking like a millionaire. Basically, if you want to be a millionaire, you got to think like a millionaire.
And you know, it's when you mention this, we've heard this over, I mean, Stephanie, over and over again, different people that we've had on the air, whatever, or on the show, we've had people, as you mentioned, Greg, before the break about the education system and the indoctrination. We've had people that grew up in the Soviet Union. We had a guest last week who was in Cuba and whose family, you know, when Castro came into power. And it all started in the education system. But then other people who just struggle right here in this country, a similar story to you. And even people who defied the narrative to, you know, step out and say, no, I'm not going to participate in that, or I'm going to be brave in this area. And it, you're exactly right. It all starts up here. And if you can't see it, I'm pointing to my head, because so much of it is a mental game, more than anything else. And it, to you pointing that out and to get out of that education system, the government schools, there you go, Stephanie.
Thank you.
How important that is, and to chart your own way.
Just, I'm fascinated sometimes when I look around at the people in this country, the mentality. And I've traveled the world. I've seen other countries, and they want what we have. And we're being taught to want what they have.
And it's mind-boggling.
It blows my mind. And you know, when you study the art of war, I don't know if you ever have, but I've studied the art of war. That's exactly what's going on. These politicians and government officials are using those indoctrination strategies, same ones that have been used in some cases for thousands of years to indoctrinate large segments of society into believing that something is good when in reality it's bad. And that's what we're seeing right now. Good is being marked as bad, and bad is being marked as good. It's the complete opposite. So again, if you want to be successful, do the opposite of what the majority does. That's what I tell my kids. You want to be successful, do the opposite of what the majority does. And look at your friends and ask yourself the question, is that where you want to be in life? If so, keep hanging around them. If not, find somebody that's at where you want to be in life, and follow that person, listen, and find somebody that's more successful than you are. Don't be jealous. I learn from those people. That's for me. If somebody's going to give me advice, they better be doing better than I'm doing, physically, financially, and spiritually, or else I really, it's going to, their thoughts and opinions are going to fall on deaf ears.
And you've taken your philosophy of life, and you've moved in multiple directions. And one of them is in ministry, which I find just so amazing, because you're not only trying to lift people up financially in that abundance kind of mindset, but you are also very dedicated and driven through ministry with homeless people. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, as I mentioned, you know, at 16, I was pretty much homeless. My brother was homeless. He actually died on the streets. And so when you've lived it and you see how hard it is, and you realize that a lot of people are there, some want to be there. I mean, I found that out in the ministry, but some don't. Some have been dealt unfortunate circumstances and were millionaires one day, and the next day they're on the streets, you know, with their families. And so what I decided to do by God's grace, and I feel that he was calling me to do that, is go out to those people, because I can relate to them because I've been there, and help them, but not just with finances, help them spiritually, because a lot of the people out there are just spiritually lost. And it's actually is a great fertile ground to plant the seeds of hope, encouragement, the seeds of salvation, because people, when they're at the lowest, is usually when they're willing to listen. Because when you're at the top, it's kind of like, you know, hey, I've got it going on here, God. You know, I really don't need you right now. So why don't you just go in that little jar and we'll put you up on the mantle. And when I need you, you come out, because I got it going on. Finances are good. Got pretty girls, drive a nice car, got house, got this and that. But when the bottom falls out, then that's when people start saying, hey, God, come out and help. And give me an example. Look at 9/11. This country had its head up, nose up in the air toward God. 9/11 happened. Next thing you know, the pews are full, churches, parking lots, everybody's, oh, God bless America, God. So that's what I look at when I, and as far as my ministry is, the people out there at their lowest, there's really nowhere else to go but up. So that's why my wife and I, she actually paints rocks, and we go out in our VW buses, old 67 VW buses, looks like something Jed Clampett would be driving in. you know, from the Beverly Hillbillies. But we paint these rocks, they're encouraging messages, or she does. And on the back, there's scriptures. And we go down to the beach, we open up the bus, it's neutral ground. People from the homeless person all the way to the guy in the Lamborghini comes by to say hi. They love the bus. And it's a great way for us to hear their story and to plant seeds of hope, plant seeds of encouragement, plant seeds of salvation for those that want to hear. So it's really helped us because it, for one, it's reminded me of where I don't want to be, where I used to be. And it's doing what God has called us to do, and that is to go out and help those that are in need. And a lot of people, unfortunately, when they become successful, they forget that. And that's something I'll never forget. I don't care if one day, if by God's grace, I become a billionaire. Never forget where you came from, because it's God that gave it to you and it's Him that can take it away. And I'm reminded of that constantly when I look around in my neighborhood of people that forget that, and I see what happened. They end up right sometimes on the street, yet one day they're a millionaire. So the ministry is designed to help those people that want to help themselves get off the street, but most importantly, not just about finances, about their spiritual health as well.
That is so important. I had a friend who was a social worker who worked with a large charity and used to say that, you know, homelessness, addiction, so many of these issues, people that are in financial struggles, it's not an economic issue, it's a relationship issue. You know, and the relationship being, of course, with God, that giant hole, there's something missing inside. And then relationship a lot of times with other people as well, you know, and just issues that drive that. So I appreciate you saying that, because realizing that going out to minister to these people is more than just, and that's something we forget in our society anymore, also, than handing them money. It's, you know, a lot of things that have to happen in here, in our heart, and in all of us, really.
And, you know, on that note, and I know this may sound crazy, but in some cases, prison is a blessing to some people, because that's where they hit their lowest and that's where they find Jesus. Because quite frankly, Jesus is the vaccine to all the world's problems. Yeah. The fact that they've removed Him from everything is why we're seeing the mess that we're in. And so prison in some cases can be a major blessing, just like homelessness can be. I know it was for me. I don't regret going through that. I'm glad I went through that, because now, again, I know where I don't want to be. And most important, I can relate to those that are in that situation and hopefully lend a helping hand, not a handout, but a helping hand to help them out of that situation. In order to help people, sometimes you have to go in their environment in order to bring them out of their environment.
Hey, I have one quick question. Did you ever do painted rocks on the New Jersey shore?
No.
Because we just had Easter, and one of my Facebook memories came up. My family and I, when our girls were little, were on the New Jersey shore, and we found a painted rock, because it came up on my memories, that said, God loves you. And I had that. I've forgotten all about it. So I just wondered if maybe that was yours. But apparently, well,
let me say it like this. It could be, because Marie, my wife, has painted, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands of these rocks, thousands and thousands. She goes down to the beach, she collects them, she puts takes a lot of time to paint on the front, and then puts a scripture on the back, and she'll paint all week. And then we go out on the weekend, she just gives them away. And people, they could be everywhere. I mean, they're all over the world, because people in San Diego that come here, you know, they visit from everywhere. So those rocks could be all over the place. That might have been one of them. Who knows?
I think it was very cool. I think you should send a picture, Kathy, and try to get some verification of its originality.
To see if that's his wife's.
Yes.
And you're exactly right, though. I mean, I remember when it came up on my memory, because we were away for the Easter weekend, everyone was excited at finding that. I mean, there's nobody that's going to walk past that. You're going to pick it up. So
yeah, that's cool. I think that's what we need right now. You know, let's face it. Our world is completely upside down. I can't even believe that it's come to what it is. But at the same time, I realize it has to happen. Why? Because the Bible says that this is going to happen. That's why I tell my kids, because they were, you know, a little bit concerned, you know, Dad, what's going on? Are we going to be able to have a family? And, you know, this is a crazy time to be alive. I said, no, this is a great time to be alive, because for thousands of years, the prophets have been writing about this very time, and God chose us to be here. And so the fact that we're here at this time means that first of all, we have nothing to worry about, because if God's for us, who can be against us? If these things don't happen, that's where we need to be concerned, because the Bible has told us is going to happen. The fact that they are happening means we can believe in the Bible. And if they don't happen, that means we can't believe in the Bible. If we can't believe in the Bible, what can we believe in? With the White House, what's going on in that clown show? I mean, that's just complete, not, and I'll say it like this is, and I'm sure I'm not going to win some friends, but complete satanic. I mean, at the highest level of what's happening, right? At the highest level of our government, Satanism. And so I'm like, by the way, the Bible talked about that too. Everything that's going on. So for me, it's very exciting time to help people, understand what truth is, which is the opposite of the narrative. And second thing is give them hope and encouragement, knowing that we believe in them. I believe in them. You believe in them. And the people that are listening right now, I guarantee you, there's a lot of people out there that have lost hope because of some neighbor or some friend or relative that told them they're a loser. So we've got to undo that. And how do we do that? With podcasts like this, with you wonderful ladies that are out there sharing the light and giving hope to those that have lost hope.
I don't know if you know. So I completely agree with everything that you're saying. And
absolutely.
And especially, I think that people need to recognize the opportunity and adversity. You know, my favorite time in life, absolute favorite time in life, has been COVID, because it has brought people around me.
We say that all the time.
We do say that all the time. But it brought, I know who my tribe is. You know, I know who is who. And it brought me such peace in life to know that, you know, that these people are around. And it was finding the good out of something that seemed so harsh and awful at the time. But it's like that with everything in life. There's learning experiences from anything, and to be able to draw from that, grow from that. But, you know, with you and the homelessness and the struggle to have food on the table and understanding starvation. So, I mean, look what you've built out of your life because of those experiences. You wouldn't be who you are without those experiences. And, you know, I think that people just need to hear that, like, make good out of whatever it is. Just start to change it for someone else and start serving other people.
And not work so hard at trying to remove those adversities from our kids' lives, which I think we've talked about before too,
because
that's how you learn and grow, versus, you know, try to make everything so wonderful. Otherwise, you don't grow. Do you agree with that, Greg?
100%. That's like with my kids. I mean, we've done well, by God's grace, my family, financially. But we didn't give our kids that silver spoon. We made them work for you know, what they have. Now, there is, don't get me wrong, there's times we have helped them. But it had to be a mutual thing, not this one-way street where we're just writing checks. I think that the parents nowadays, you know, that's their way of parenting. You know, buying them the next pair of fancy, you know, tennis shoes, or, you know, going out and buy them some, you know, first car, Mercedes. Really? I mean, come on. I don't care if you're a billionaire. You know, give the kids something to work for, something to look forward to. And they just shower them with all this, these gifts and everything. And then, you know, something happens to them later on in life. The kids are, they're helpless. They don't know what to do. So for me, I've taught my kids responsibility. I should say my wife and I, it's been a team effort. We teach them that if you want something, you got to work for it. We may give them a little bit of funding to help get things started in certain areas, but it's up to them, you know. And we teach them, like Zig Ziglar often says, you know, you can get whatever you want in life. You just help enough other people get what they want. So take the focus off yourself and focus on other people. That's where success comes from. And a lot of people miss that. They focus on how much money can I make? How can I get this? How can I get that? That's the type of thinking that I guarantee you, you're going nowhere. But if you take the focus off yourself, put on other people, like what you're doing here on these talk shows, that's when it's like the boomerang returns the hand that throws it. It'll come back to you. It may not come back from that source, but it's going to come back somewhere. Why? Because God promised, you know, you go out, the more you give, the more you get. He will multiply that. And it doesn't necessarily mean money. It can be in all areas of your life. If whatever you give, you get back. As a matter of fact, biblically speaking, a hundredfold.
Yeah. Let's talk first steps here. So people who are listening to this saying, wow, this guy really has accomplished a lot, which I want to also say, Kathy, no one knows that. I mean, people know this, but you don't know this. His house was actually on a music video. at one point, wow. right? Am I remembering this correctly?
Well, it's not just music videos. There's been a lot of events. You know, I'm grateful that we live in one of the nicest areas in the country and probably in the world. But yeah, our house, you know, we have a very nice house, and we rent it out too for weddings, for business events. So why do we do that? One is we meet a lot of wonderful people. They come into our house and they know that there's something different about this house, that there is a different spirit in here that they may not be used to. And it's another great ministry and opportunity.
I have to keep note of that. Thank you for bringing that up, Stephanie, because I have a 23-year-old and 22-year-old girls who seem to be head over heels in love. So, you know, I think we're getting to that point at some point soon about weddings. So, by being on here, we could talk about some kind of discount arrangement. So thank you, Stephanie, for bringing that up.
There's a website I can send you to later. You can learn more about the house and what we do. But yeah, we've had a lot of things happen here. And I believe the reason God has opened the doors to our home is not for necessarily more financial gain for us, but it's to open the doors to those with ears to hear and eyes to see when they come in here. Like I said, they know that there's a different spirit in this house.
So let's talk about first steps for people. So let's say someone's just, you know, they're sitting at the dinner table tonight. They're looking at perhaps all they could afford is some Kraft macaroni and cheese, or maybe the generic brand. What's the first step?
Or just feel stuck in anything.
Or just feel stuck. Yeah. Just feel stuck. Like, what's the first step to getting out of that?
Change the way you think. That's the bottom line. Change the way you think. By the way, back to the macaroni and cheese. I know that macaroni and cheese very well. I remember a time, just real quickly, and we'll get off of it, where there was one box of macaroni and cheese in that house, and there was five kids. And so if I never see macaroni and cheese again in my life, it'd be a great thing. But for some people, that's a lifesaver. But in order to get out of that, you have to get out of your environment. Look around the people that you're surrounding yourself with and ask the question, is this where I want to be? And I almost guarantee most people will say no. Then find a different circle of influence. Go out and meet people instead of at the bars. Maybe go to a dance hall, learn, you know, dancing, or just get out and be around people, or go to business events, which is probably the most important thing you can do. Seminars, listen to talk shows like this, read certain books that are, you know, telling you that you can versus you can't, and turn off the news. The news is not going to gain any yardage for you physically, financially, or spiritually. What it's going to do is create doubt, and you can have 99% faith and 1% doubt, and doubt wins every time. You got to have the 100% faith, knowing that if God's for you, who can be against you? If other people are successful, why not me? Why not now? And most important, what are these people doing? And I guarantee you, 99% of them, unless they won the lottery, have their own business. How did they get started? They took the first step. And with the AI technology nowadays, it's very easy. You can have business plans written for you. You can have answers to your questions at lightning speed. Before, we had to figure it all out. It's all figured out for us. Now, we just got to change lanes and start doing something different. You know, we've heard it said, and I'll say it again. It sounds like a cliche. You always do what you've always done. You always get what you always got. It's true.
Right.
So what's going to change next year? What's going to change starting now? If you do the same thing you were doing last year, last month, last week, nothing's going to change. You got to radically change. And how do you do that? Again, right here, right in the 6 inches of real estate between your ears, the most valuable real estate in the world. Start watering your mind garden. Keep the weeds out, because if you pick them one weed, they're going to be 1 week, they're going to be back the next. So that's why you got to continually read. And then one of the most important books of all is the Bible. People say, what's the greatest personal development book of all time? The Bible. Now, some might not agree with that. So there's other books, John C. Maxwell, any book that he's written, I recommend you read. Any book by Zig Ziglar, some of the old timers, Dale Carnegie, there's certain things you can learn from him as well. Even though there's certain things I don't agree with from Dale Carnegie, that's okay. It's okay that we have to agree to disagree. But I'd say for the majority of what he teaches is right on. And so again, change the way you think, and your circumstances will change.
It's such great information. It seems, you know, and like so many things, it seems so simple, and it actually is. It's just a matter of doing it. And, you know, and that is practical advice that anybody can do. We sometimes think, oh, I can't do that. I don't have the resources. You can read a book. Even though you mentioned homeless ministry, a lot of the homeless have telephones, you know, to look up this information and find this information to read, and the people that you surround yourself with. And I thank you so much for telling that story of through your own personal successes, but then also encouraging others to do the same. It's what we need to hear more of versus what we hear so often.
Well, you know, if you really stop and think about this, it's really true. People come to this country, in some cases, floating on inner tubes. And 2 to 3 years later, they're millionaires. Even though we are being hijacked, our country, there's still opportunities out there. And people coming here see those opportunities because they came from countries that had nothing. There was just, and they come here and like, oh my gosh, look at all this. These opportunities are everywhere. Where people that were growing up here, we take it for granted. And we've gone through, again, all this government education we talked about earlier, the thinking the only way to do it is J-O-B, which, you know, you may have heard it said, just over broke. That's what jobs do. They're just over broke. Most people, unless you're a CEO of some major company making a 6 or 7 figure income, which very few people will ever reach that level. So the reason these people that come over here are successful in a short period of time is they haven't been taught all this stinking thinking. And that's what we, as Americans, have been taught. Now, again, this has been going on for the last, you know, 20, 30 years. Prior to that, it was about entrepreneurship, but it's switched now. And so the people that are coming here, they still see it, but the upcoming generations now are just completely blind to all the opportunities that are around them. That's why they need to remove themselves from that, hit the reset button and start over.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today and just sharing your experience, your life experience, your wealth of knowledge. And I truly appreciate it. And I hope that people can understand and implement what you're saying and change their lives as much as you've been able to influence not only yours, but other people around you.
Yes, thank you so much. And we appreciate hearing this and wish that more people could hear this and more kids could hear it. As he was thinking, talking, Stephanie, I was thinking of hosting. I do a lot of speaking and so forth. I had a college group and he talked about the education system and at the charity that I work at. And they said, this one kid goes, well, I can't stand rich people. And I said, why don't, you know, they were the social services majors and so forth,
yeah.
Bleeding Hearts. I said, why is that? He said, you know, I said, we here at the charity that I work for, we love rich people. Cause who do you think pays for this? The rich people that give their money. But it was that opposite of how, you know, as Greg mentioned, you know, he said, I don't like rich people. Like it was something bad.
Right.
And then I said, we love them because that's who helps the other people and lifts them up. You know, but that's what they're taught in these, as you say, government schools. And it's ridiculous.
Well, let's be clear. In the government schools, we're more concerned with if you feel like a cat today, rather than do you know how to do 2 + 2? So there we
Correct.
Have it.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
well,
a lot of other problems.
It's fascinating to see what's going on. It's sad because, you know, there's so many kids that are growing up nowadays that don't know the freedoms that we experienced when we grew up. They're being taught this other way. And that other way is basically leading them off a cliff. They don't even know it. And so it's sad. You know, I'm praying for them that God will lift the scales from their eyes to where they'll be able to see that mom and dad, you know, actually know what they're talking about. Because a lot of kids nowadays think mom and dad are just completely old school and this and that, this new socialism, communism thing is the way to go. Really? Show me one example where it's ever worked in any other country for the people. It works for the government, but it never works for the people. But they have a feeling that this time it's going to work.
Yeah.
Right. This time, you know, we're going to make that socialism because it's democratic socialism. Like when I heard that, I was like, are you for real? That's it. I asked this one person, what do you think is going to work? Because this time it's democratic socialism. Unbelievable what's going on. So if we're ever going to get our country back, get our lives back, get our freedoms back, we're going to need more shows like this and inviting other speakers on here. And hopefully people, especially the younger generations, will start listening so we can undo that damage that's been done, not just to them, but because of our country, and also to our country because of what they're being taught in these indoctrination camps.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I distinctly remember as a child listening to my grandfather and thinking, wow, he's so old. He doesn't know. But in reality, he knew and he was warning. And unfortunately, it took me, you know, probably 40 years to realize that and to realize who my grandfather truly was. But it's remarkable, because you're exactly right. We look at older people in the U.S. and rather than learning from them, we kind of criticize them a lot of times, when in reality, they should be cherished and valued because they've been through so much more than we have. And their experiences alone, you know, is what can really guide us to understanding how we get caught into the same traps of yesteryear because we don't listen.
We need to find gray hair mentors, even though I don't have a lot of gray hairs. I got a few up here. We need to find gray hair mentors. So in closing, somebody asked me, what do you do? Find a gray hair mentor. That's where you want to be in life. That's been there, that understands how he got there or she's got there, and just mimic their success. Success leads clues. Do what successful people do. If you want to be a failure, do what failures do. You want to be a millionaire, do what millionaires do. It's very simple when you understand the equation.
Absolutely.
The question is getting people to do it and getting them to believe in themselves. And I think that's where we come in once again, to help them until they do believe in themselves. Right. Tell them that we believe in them.
And I
believe. No?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like we say every show, remember that wherever you are and to what extent you are able, stand up, step forward, and speak out.
Hallelujah.